Amen. And if you would, just bow your heads quickly with me. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for our youth, Lord, as we try our best to train them up in the way that they should go so when they're old, they won't depart from you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this Youth Sunday. Thank you for all that our youth do, not only Sunday, but throughout the year. We thank you for all that we've been able to impart into their life this year, Lord. And we thank you as we see the growth, Lord. It's a beautiful thing to see our kids growing up in the Lord. So we thank you and we bless you as they're expressing their gifts, Lord. We cover them and we protect them, Lord. We ask that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct them, Lord. Keep them and cover them, Lord, from predators and anyone else that would mean them no good, Lord. Cover our kids. We pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for their life, Lord. We thank you for the gift that they are to us. And we honor them today and we bless them, Lord, before you and before the people. And we thank you for our youth. Now speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Illuminate the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a fallen world, a dark, dying, and decaying world. God, we need your word, the light of your word today more than ever. So we bless you on today and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Ephesians chapter 3 and 17, and we'll continue on our journey this morning through the word. Just a couple of things I want to share. Where's Natalie at? Hey, Natalie. Natalie, we're going to kind of be all over the place today, so stick with me, Natalie. As a matter of fact, we'll come back to Ephesians 3 and 17. Natalie, take us to 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. Family, keep your finger in Ephesians, and we're going to go a couple of places and come back there. And as I said, we'll be all over the place this morning. 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. It's good to see you all. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll be saying that throughout the message because we know that every day is Thanksgiving. To be here, to be thankful every day is Christmas because we have the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. And every day is New Year's because new mercies greeted us this morning. So it's all wrapped up into one. Don't wait for one day to celebrate God. Celebrate God every day. Amen. It's just one thing that wisdom teaches us, that we don't know what a day might bring, but we thank God that he brings the day, so we celebrate every day. So 1 Chronicles 29, we've been talking, those of you that have been here, we've been talking about closing the year strong. So I'm challenging us to pray and fast daily. I'm challenging us to read the Proverbs. I'm challenging us to minister to God each morning. How do we minister to God? I want to take you there and show you a couple of scriptures that you can highlight to minister to God. Before you got here this morning, you should have already had some quiet time with God and ministered to God and told him how great he is. All right, Ivy, my mic is on this morning. Before you got here this morning, you should already had quiet time with God, spent time with God and told God how great he is. Number one, for just waking you up. So it's come here. When you get here, it's easy to lift your hands and praise and thank God because it's just an extension of what you've done at home. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe I said 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. Let me just read that. This is one I want you to highlight as far as how do I minister to God. We've went over this before. It's a couple I want to go over before. Then we're going to get into the message. I promise you that we will. Verse 10, it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our father, forever and ever. Should have blessed God already this morning before you got here. Here's why in verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. God is the greatness. He's the power. He's the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Your kingdom is Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. So God, everything that's in heaven and earth, which includes everything we have because we're in earth, is God's. So because God is the greatness, the power, the victory, I give him the glory because everything I have is because God's given it to me. Everything you have is because God's given it to you. Okay, all right, look at verse 12. Here it says, both riches, I'm not convincing you this morning, huh? Verse 12, both riches and honor come of you. Why? And you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Without God's hand, we wouldn't have the strength to get up. How many of you have a job or some type of employment or a business? God bless you. Without the strength of God getting you up, you couldn't even go there. You couldn't get up. You wouldn't even have the strength in the limbs, in the activity of your limbs to get up and go. God says everything. When you look at life like that, it's easy to give God praise. It's easy to wake up and say, God, thank you for today, because if you didn't give me the strength, I couldn't even get up. It's easy to give God praise for that. Then he says in verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. That's why, because everything that we have comes from God. Turn quickly to Exodus chapter 34. So highlight that scripture, that those scriptures and those verses, because that's what you should wake up and that's how you minister to God each and every morning. Just thank God for all that he's done for you and all he's done for us. Amen. Amen. Exodus 34 and verse 5. If you there, say amen. Amen. This is another one you highlight. It's a conversation between God and Moses, if you can imagine that. And God gives Moses a glimpse of God's character, of God's nature. If you ever wonder what God is like, who God is, he tells us right here. Verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, that's Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, underline both of those. He didn't have a stuttering problem. He just wanted me to make sure that he understood the Lord, the Lord. God, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. God is not out to get you and I. God is merciful, God's gracious. He's been waiting for some of us a long time. Abundant in goodness and in truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody think back to last night and say amen, amen. Amen. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Somebody say, ouch. That's why it tells us to confess and forsake that sin. We don't want our iniquities to be passed on to our children. Some people call those generational curses because that's unconfessed sin that you never came clean with to God. Somebody say, ouch. God is loving, he's gracious, but he say, you're going to reap what you're going to sow. It's no way you're going to get away with anything. God loves us too much to let us get away with stuff. As his children, he's going to call us on the carpet. He's going to give us a chance to confess and forsake that sin. But then after that, it has to be dealt with. Verse 8. And after God had shared that with Moses, look what Moses did. And Moses made haste and he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped. Oh, my God, is that the God that I'm dealing with? That's gracious, that's merciful, but he's going to hold me accountable for my sin. Oh, God, I got to worship you right now. And then look what the next response is, verse 9. And he said, if I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff neck, or it's a stubborn people. Now, he was talking about those people back then, not you all. I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked, stubborn people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. So you're ministering to God, recognize who God is, what he is, and what he isn't. He's not a cosmic killjoy. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be blessed. But he's not going to let you get away with the sin. It has to be dealt with. So as you minister to God, it's just that we should come clean. Because God knows what we're going through anyway. Amen? All right, let's get into today's lesson. As we're trying to finish this year strong, remember who God is and who he's not. As we finish this year strong, that's what this whole thing is about. Don't wait till the new year to change your life. Start drawing close to God now. Start trying to, God, how can I get closer to you? And I'm telling you, if you're not praying and fasting daily, if you're not getting into the word, then you got to question your relationship. I was taught that people that you spend time, people that you love, you spend time with. And if I were to take a poll, most of us would raise our hands and say that we love God. And then I would have to ask you, how much time did you spend, how much quality time did you spend with God this week? If I were to take a poll, how many of us love God? I'm sure most of the hands in here would go up. But I was taught that you spend time with people you love. How much quality time did you spend with God this week? And then I'm just amazed as I'm watching the news and a guy, they're talking, interviewing a guy who Monday had his tent in front of Best Buy so he could buy a TV on Friday. He's camping out. He's sacrificing his whole life for a TV. So he's going to have first position. So he's going to have his tent. He got all this stuff. And he's in front of Best Buy on Monday night waiting for Friday. For a TV. And you telling me the one who created the universe, who created everything, you can't spend time with him? The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But I'm saying we're the people of God. And we don't have time for God? I was trying to look to see in that line if I saw any of the members in that line. You better believe I hit the TiVo, hit the pause, hit the slow motion. I was trying to see who's, yeah, oh, check them out, okay. Same ones late to church right there, camped out in front of Best Buy. Oh, I had to pause a couple of times. I thought it wasn't you, though. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us, would humble themselves and pray. He didn't, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. The world's going to believe what the world's going to believe. But we have to take this thing seriously. Either God is who he said he is, or he isn't. Now, I'm not saying don't go shopping. I'm not saying that. Be a blessing to someone. You know, it's far more better to give than it is to receive anyway. So don't have your lip all poked out. Don't be bent out of shape if nobody got you anything for Christmas. Remember, it's not your birthday anyway, right? But we do have the opportunity to share Christ with a lot of people this time of year. Because the world is searching for answers, and we have them. Either this word is what it said it is or it isn't. See, one thing that you can't do, and we know that the word was shared with us, you know, years ago and all, but you can't fake being saved. If God is real and you're saved, then you're saved. If you don't believe God, then you don't believe God. But you can't fake being saved. I don't care who introduced you to Christ. Either you accept Christ in your heart, that's what you have to do. The word says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to call on him. The word is the word. But if you don't put it into action, it's still there. It's just words on a page. But for those of us who have a personal relationship with God, we know how real it is. You can't fake this. You got to put it into practice. All right, let's go to Ephesians 3:17. So we've been on this scripture for a couple of weeks now. It's talking that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's by your belief and by your trust in God. That's the only way Christ can get into your heart is if you believe and you trust and you commit to him. Believe, trust, commit. And after that, after you have Christ in your heart, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you can be rooted and grounded in love. So we talked about rooted being established. What establishes us? We talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ split time in half. That's what we're establishing. And then grounded, our foundation is love. What are you building your house on? We talked about either you build your house on the rock, which is the rock of Jesus Christ, or you build it on sand. We talked about that. We talked about what love is and what love isn't. So let's continue this conversation on love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's wrap this up so we can see what love is and what love isn't. 1 Corinthians 13. And how many are married in here? How many are married? Amen, amen, amen. All right. Amen. I'm not trying to put nobody out. In Corinthians 13, and we're going to pick up the conversation because it's worth repeating. We'll pick it up in verse 4, Corinthians 13 and 4. Talks about if I have all these other things, I don't have love, then I really don't have anything. It's going to tell us what love is and what love isn't, so we'll know, because love is an action. Love can be identified. You don't have to guess if you're practicing love or if someone loves you. Talk about the difference between love and like and love and lust. It's a difference. And these are not just words that are read at a wedding. Most of us probably shared this scripture somewhere at our wedding. Those of us that are married. But it's if you're single, if you're a single parent, if you're a kid, if you're a youth, if you're a young adult, you need to understand what love is and what is not, so you can recognize the real from the counterfeit. So we pick it up in verse 4, and it says, love suffers long and is kind. So love is patient and kind. Somebody write that down, highlight it if you don't have it. This is what God is saying we need to be rooted and grounded in. We're rooted and grounded in love. The root is Jesus Christ dying on that cross for our sins so that we can be set free. And as we go out and share that with the world, then we do it in love. That's why you don't get upset with people as you're sharing, as you're being an example, because love, it suffers long and it is kind. I hope during Thanksgiving that you exhibited love to your family. I hope you weren't on a short fuse and you got so caught up in the food that you forgot about love is patient and kind. I'm not going to get into the type of language you shared with your family. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just saying this is what we should be rooted in. So whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, whether it's just a regular day, I'm rooted and grounded in love. I'm patient and I'm kind through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And it's not jealous. It's not all puffed up. It's not rude and it's not arrogant. Somebody say amen. It deserves repeating. This is what love is. Underline it so you understand what it is and what it's not. Love is not a hater. It doesn't hate on people. It congratulates and it's kind and it's patient. It's not rude. It's not arrogant. Verse 5 does not behave itself unseemingly. It's not all braggadocious. It doesn't always say, look at me and look what I got. Love doesn't do that. Doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. Doesn't even think evil. Wow. How many of us are married again? All right. Okay, I'm just checking. Don't even think evil about your spouse. Kids, don't even think evil about your parents. Parents, don't even think evil about your kids. Verse 6, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It never brags about the sins that it committed. Never brags about what it's doing and what it's done. And got me a side piece over here and this little thing over there, and I'm stealing from the job and they don't know it, and look what I got. It doesn't get all happy about that type of foolishness. Love doesn't. Foolishness does. Lust does. Greed, envy does, but love doesn't. It's easy to determine what love is and what love isn't. This is what we need to be rooted and grounded in as children of God. That's when the church becomes attractive. That's when Christianity becomes attractive. We're rooted and grounded in this. And people see this. They want this. And then it says it bears all things and believes all things. Remember, bears mean that it covers the errors or the shortcomings of others with silence. It covers the faults and the issues of others with silence. Doesn't put people on blast. Doesn't talk about what they used to do or where they've been or where they come from or how they're always doing this or that. Love covers it with silence. I know that's a hard word, but that's God. Doesn't highlight wrongs. Because imagine if we start keeping score on people based upon what they do wrong. My goodness, how crazy is that? How crazy. If I start highlighting my members' faults, I mean, that's ridiculous. See, love doesn't do that. If you start highlighting everything you don't like about your wife, you don't like about your kids, see, you got some loving to do. You got to understand what it is and what it isn't. And in and of ourselves, no, we can't do it. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, we can love like that. God doesn't want us guessing what love is. We know. All right. It gets deeper. I was trying to get away from this, but it gets deeper. It bears all things. So it covers all things with silence. It never exposes things. Why? Because it believes all things. I believe God put me with my wife. I believe God gave me my crazy kids. Amen. And I'm hoping it's going to be all right. That's why I believe that it hopes. And y'all know I'm just playing. Kids. Y'all know y'all are crazy though. Anyway. But see, that's why it could cover things with silence, because it believes God, you bless me with this. And hope says, I know it's going to be all right because we serve God. So you don't get all bent out of shape, because love hopes and then it endures. It means love remains. Love is not going to leave you. See, that's why, for God so loved the world that he gave, so that we might have that bridge back to Jesus Christ, to God through Jesus Christ. See, that's what love did. It gave it. God didn't say we got irreconcilable differences. This ain't working out. God said, no, I loved you, so I'm going to stay with you. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's no such thing as irreconcilable difference, not in a relationship with love. Yeah, I mean, you hear foolishness in the news where kids are divorcing their parents. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. All right. So look. All right. So I was looking at this whole thing, right? Let's go to Matthew 19. So I'm studying. You all know I got ADD when I study. I'm all over the place. But in Corinthians, I believe is 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it talks about if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. All things are old. Behold, all things become new. Then it talks about how God reconciled us to himself See, that's love. Love pulls the relationship together. Love won't let you go. Love will do whatever it takes to keep you. See, that's why you have to know what love is and what it isn't. So you can do a comparison. Is it real love that's trying to keep me? But love does what it takes to keep you. It will not say, you know what, this thing isn't working out, we're done. Not real love. So you got to compare the real to the counterfeit so you know. But look at Jesus in verse 19, Matthew 19 and 1. And it is talking about divorce. And we're talking about love because God never says they're irreconcilable differences. We say that, but if we have the true love of God, we can't say that because we make it work. We humble ourselves so we can make it work. Verse 19, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he had just taught them on being offended and all that kind of stuff. He departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him. Why? Because Jesus was all about the love, and he healed them there. God is attractive when we present God the right way. But here we go. It's always some haters. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came. Look at that. People are actually following Jesus, but then you have those in the crowd who are just haters. And they come just to hate and try and have, they come with a critical spirit. They come with a negative spirit. They come just to hate. The Pharisees, underlined, also came. So that's why you can't get bent out of shape with you at church and it's folks who are there and they might not show the love because within the church folks that are following, you got the Pharisees who also come. Just make sure you're not a Pharisee. You can tell a Pharisee because look what they're doing. They didn't come to get the word. They didn't come to get healed. They didn't come and say, God, thank you for healing the multitude. They came to test. They came to live on the edge. They came to see what they can get away with. The Pharisees also came. They wanted to test him. See, instead of testing, they should have been trusting. But they want to come and test. They want to see how far can we live on the edge and what we can get away with. See, they're the type that would say, you know, I just have to tell a little lie because I need some extra money. I need to, you know, fix my time card a little bit. It's just a little lie so I can pay my rent. You can understand. You see, that's the test. But did God say, no, God said you shouldn't steal, but it's just a little, I just got to, God said you should stop lying and start tithing. See, did God really say that I couldn't do this? See, it's not about what you can or can't do. God already said, they already knew. Look, okay, let me read. I'm gonna stop talking and start reading. And the great multitudes followed him and he healed them. The Pharisees also came unto him, testing him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause or for anything? Just get rid of her. And look at them. They already, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Don't you already know this? You already know how to live. Why are you living on the edge? Why are you testing God? You already know how to live. You know what the word says. You come in just to test. God said, you know what to do. Haven't you already read? And look how Jesus knows everything. He knew what their heart, he knew. Have you not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female? Somebody make a note of that. He made them male and female. He made them Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And not Eve and Yvette. Jesus broke it down. He made them male and female. Without male and female, none of us would be here. Haven't you read? Don't you know from the beginning? From the beginning when? That goes all the way from the beginning of time when God created Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, for this cause, verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, shall become glued to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let nobody separate. Of course, you know how that is. Now I got to ask another question. But Okay, then they said, well, so why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Ain't heard nothing he said. Verse 8, he said unto Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, because your head was so hard, because your neck is so stiff, he allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. You're supposed to work it out. You're supposed to believe, you're supposed to hope, you're supposed to bear, you're supposed to endure, you're supposed to remain. You're supposed to love through it all. But because you want to do your own thing, you want to create your own rules, and he had to. But from the beginning, it was not, because love remains. That's the type of love we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in. The world's going to do what the world's going to do, but as believers, we need to stand on this type of love. Please turn back with me to 1 Corinthians 13. God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's love. He's going to work it out. Even when we didn't care about God, he didn't let us go. He didn't let us go completely off the edge. Somebody say amen. We were growing up and didn't care nothing about God. Dodging bullets and everything else and didn't care nothing about God. God said, I still love you. I'm going to still stay with you. Because one day you're going to believe and you need to be saved. Didn't care about God. God remained because love remains. Verse 7, 13 and 7. It bears all things, believe all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, charity, love never fails. Underline that. Then he talks about whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, or you're speaking in tongues, or you're able to prophesy. Whether there be knowledge, a word of knowledge, it shall cease, it will vanish away, but love never will. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. It talks about the word being separated, the Bible being separated into three different sections. It's prophecy, it's doctrine. Prophecy, one third prophecy, one third doctrine, the other third history. But the prophecy, all that stuff is going to stop. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect when Jesus comes back or we transition, all that stuff is over. It's no more mysteries. You got to know face to face. You got to know exactly what's going on. See, right now we might want to know what's going on, but we can barely balance our checkbook. You can barely handle that. You can barely walk and chew gum. You don't need to know what's going on right now. We can't handle it. What was it in our couples retreat? You want answers or you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. All right. That's from a movie. You guys got to go see A Few Good Men with. Anyway. All right. God is saying you want answers. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle it all. Right now you just see in part. But look how he breaks it down. He said, when I was a child. Here we go. Underline this. When I was a child. As we're finishing this year and we're trying to be rooted and grounded in love, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became a woman, I put away childish things. God is saying we really need to mature. God is saying we really. The worst thing is to have a grown man who's still acting like a little kid. Ladies, can I hear you say?
Amen.
It's the worst thing for me to be my age and still thinking like a little kid. And see, parents, you can't get too frustrated with your kids because when you're 50 plus and your kids are in their 20s, that's okay. And you don't think, you're not supposed to think, if I'm 55, I shouldn't think like a 25-year-old. As my good buddy Darren Mars would say, if you're 55 and you're thinking like a 25-year-old, you wasted 30 years. You didn't waste 30 years. If I'm still thinking like a 25-year-old at 50, I wasted 30 years. You shouldn't agree on everything because you don't think alike. Because when you were a child, you thought as a child, you reasoned as a child, you functioned as a child. But now you became a man, you became a woman, you put away the childish things. I got to mature. I have one of my other friends, Dave, and we were talking about how we met our wives. I met my wife in eighth grade, and all. He said, oh, I met my wife in sixth grade. All right, you got me. Okay. All right. But he said, and his wife Julie was there too, and she said, yeah, but tell him the rest of the story. But he was so silly, he was throwing rocks at her in sixth grade. See, that's what a kid does, right? All the boys know. We throwing lizards and frogs and stuff because we like the girl, but we don't know how to show it. So we get a little spider and drop it on her and ha 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 and all that. See, that's childish stuff. See, because you don't throw rocks at those that you love. We need to stop throwing rocks at each other. That stuff is over with. Well, we need to be standing on the rock and loving them the way that Christ has loved them. We're not throwing rocks. We're standing on the rock. That's our foundation. We're rooted and grounded on the rock now. Not throwing rocks at those that we love. That's childish. Men, that's childish. Stop throwing rocks at your wife. Stop throwing rocks at your kids. Kids, stop throwing rocks at your parents. Stop throwing rocks at your family. I hope that your Thanksgiving dinner wasn't filled with rocks. Everybody sitting around throwing rocks, acting childish. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass, or we see through a mirror. It's kind of dark, though. We see through the mirror. And when it talks about the glass, the translation is a mirror. We see through the mirror just dimly. And back in those days, instead of the mirrors we have now, they had stainless steel. And if you've ever been to one of those park bathrooms and they have the stainless steel mirror, I mean, it's okay if you're out and about. You can kind of, but if you can't get dressed in a stainless steel mirror, all the ladies said amen. You can't put your makeup on in a stainless steel mirror. You can't. You look, no, this ain't going to work. It's not going to work at all. But he's saying that we see, for now we see through a glass. We don't see it all. He says, but then face to face. It gets tough right here. We're going to have to stand before God face to face. We're going to have to stand with the reality of Christ, the truth of Christ, face to face. It says, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Oh my gosh. Why that scripture got to be there? You're going to see God and you're going to recognize and go, oh my God. And God is going to see you and go, oh yeah. You're going to see God and you're going to recognize that God knows everything. And then God's going to see you and you're going to go, oh, that means he knows everything. You're going to know and you're going to be known at the same time. Say that known means you're going to be exposed. Oh, God, I didn't know it was this serious. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's this serious. The world is serious. The devil's not playing. God is calling us to a whole nother level of maturity. God said, you got to put away the childish things because I know everything anyway. And you're going to see me and I'm going to see you and you're going to know who I am and I'm going to know everything. God said, you need to come clean. Don't wait to that day to try and cover. You can't cover up. It's too late to cover it up then. That's why God says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's not out to get us. We started off by talking about how he's merciful. He's long suffering. He's kind. That's the God. He's gracious. That's the God we serve. God is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to come clean. And you could wait. You can continue to live your life as an immature little kid. But then you're going to see me and you're going to know who I am. And I'm going to know everything about you. And you never got real with God. And the tragedy with that is that you never reached your potential in God. That's going to be the saddest thing. God said, I had so much for you. But you wanted to live a life. You can't give an immature kid a car. You're a wrecking. You can't give them a house. They won't pay the bills. You can't give them a relationship because they'll mess it up. God is saying, I had so much for you, but you wanted to stay that immature little kid and wouldn't allow me to grow you up. Can't give them a bank account. They'll spend all the money on candy and toys. You can't give immature. That's what God is saying. I have so much for you, but you keep cheating yourself. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Then verse 13, he says, and now abide these, faith and hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. But what is love? We just talked about it. It's, go back to verse 4. This is the greatest thing that you could do. Is to suffer long and to be kind. And don't be jealous. Don't be a hater. Don't be all puffed up and arrogant. Don't be all rude and thinking evil. Don't rejoice in the sin, but rejoice in the truth. Then you got to bear all things. You got to believe all things. You have to hope. You got to endure. You got to remain, because love never fails. Let's go back to Ephesians 3 and 17. See, that's the type of love where it says you got to be rooted and grounded in. That's what Paul is saying. This is how you need to be rooted and grounded. As we finish this year, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The only way you can be rooted and grounded in that type of love is if Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith and trust and belief. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Then it talks about how you may be able to comprehend. You can't understand it without Christ being in your heart. And what type of love is this? A love that never fails. We're going to pick up at verse 18 on next Sunday. If you would, just bow your heads. Let us pray before we dismiss. My gosh, what a tough word this morning. Whew. God is challenging us to put away childish things. Don't finish the year that immature kid. We're getting ready to step into 2016 and you still playing 2013 games. You 3 years behind. In just a little over a month, we're hitting 2016. And God is telling us, put away the childish things. Mature in Christ. That's why we're praying every morning. We're ministering to God. We're trying to get close. It's the only way. You got to practice. You have to practice living right. You have to practice reading the word and worshiping. Just like anything else we've gotten good at, we practice that stuff. Now we're practicing maturing in God. God, give us the strength, give us the desire, give us the courage to want to get close to you, to want to know you, Lord, as you know us. What could we hide from you if we wanted to? Your word tells us everything in heaven and earth is yours. You see right through us. It's not about being perfect. It's about trusting God through the process of becoming more like him. So, Lord, I want to pray for anyone this morning. Say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Lord, Pastor, you're speaking, but I got to get to the first step. I need Christ to dwell in my heart by faith. If you've never done that, the word says all you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And you shall be saved. He said, whosoever. And don't get it wrong. You see how God is gracious and kind. God accepts you as you are. You ain't got to clean nothing up. You couldn't clean it up anyway. Don't buy into that. Jesus said, I'll take you as you are. And I love you so much, I won't leave you like that. So if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. It's my personal Lord and Savior. Throughout the message, God was telling me I need to get saved. And saved just means being rescued. Rescued from what? Death, hell, sin, and the grave. And it's a free gift. We can't work for it. We just have to accept it. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. You want to get saved. You've never been saved before. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I'm not going to wait to the beginning of the year. I'm going to rededicate my life now. I got to get back on track. Been all over the place. Been looking in everything, and Jesus has always been there waiting for me to come back to him, to stay on the road with him. I've tried all these other things, and here I'm back at square one, frustrated and empty. If you want to rededicate your life this morning, God is gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. He's forgiving. He already told us that. He's not out to get us. If that's you, elevate your hand this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I've been visiting. I want to find a place to plant my feet. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we love you. We thank you. If you have any of those needs, you want to accept Christ, rededicate your life, or unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church, elevate your hand and then come on up front. Amen. Lord, how we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. There's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. Lord, how we need you today more than ever. So much going on in the world today, Lord. Let us stay close. We need your word to guide us. We love you, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, stand to your feet as Natalie, our youth Natalie. Let's put our hands together for Natalie as she comes to close out service. Stay there, Natalie. Let me get you. Wait. Wasn't me. Come on, Natalie, right here. Testing. Amen, amen. You are dismissed. You say it in the mic. Amen. What's up, baby?
When is new members class? I don't know if I ever joined.
You don't know if you ever joined?
No.
Did you go through the class?
No.